This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Melro 210, a We Hate Movies quarantine sideshow.
Yeah!
Where we ask you to remain indoors and please, please, please stop pretending like this fucking thing isn't over when it's not. We're just, if you can, if you could just bother to not pretend that this fucking thing is over, that'd be great. My name is Steven Sadak. I am joined, as always.
The podcast is not over yet, just
with Eric Ziska.
Howdy, partner.
Our terrifying anal retentive roommate, Chris Cabin.
Hi.
And Andrew Jupin, the married man that refuses to leave our life.
Yo! That's right. I fucking refuse. I refuse to leave you guys because we made a commitment and we're here for the long haul, baby. So I'm going to drink this delicious Five Boroughs Brewing Company summer ale and you can fucking deal with it.
Well, I've got myself a single cut here, my friends.
Oh, what single cut are you rocking?
What is it? It's, you know, the problem with single cut guys is it's really hard. They're very big on picture, but not so much a label. I've accidentally bought beers that I didn't want, like certain sours, etc. It's all in all is all. I don't even fucking know. It's got elderberries in it. It's pretty good.
Nice. I like that.
Let's fucking tighten up the labeling. Anyways, we are talking about Drawing the Line, an episode of Melrose Place, because it's fucking Thursday. We love it.
Drawing the Line with single cut. That's right. We're going to put out a whole PR announcement about how we hate them for their labeling.
Steve, this podcast is now about Queens breweries that no one else knows about.
Our original air date, November the 4th, 1992. It might have been election day, you guys. Pretty close.
Oh, shit. It could have been. Hey, Allison, I think I'm going to vote for Bill Clinton. He seems like a pretty cool dude.
I dig that saxophone.
He's a rock and roll president, Allison.
Allison, we need to stay the course with George H.W. He knows what's going on. It's like Reagan for 20 more years.
He was with the CIA. He probably knows everything.
I bet Billy does have strong opinions on Kuwait.
Oh, yeah. You know what, Allison? Someone had to step in there, goddammit.
We're in quarantine, and, you know, we're all doing this thing. We're all doing our best. But if Melrose Place could stop airing the same fucking episode week after week with this Keith horse shit, I'd be appreciative of it.
Here's the thing. I get it, but I got to tell you something, guys. Uh-huh. There's a problem here that we knew going in. We're watching a soap opera.
Yeah.
And that's what these things are. And just be thankful we're not doing Young and the Restless or some shit, dude. Because back in the day, they'd have five of those fuckers a week. And you're watching thousands of repetitious storylines happen.
I guess so. I feel like I've watched the same episode 3 weeks in a row. And it's kind of crazy.
You have. Okay, I'm not denying that. You definitely have.
There might be some finality here now with the Keith relationship. But I'm assuming he will return.
Assumption correct.
Keith will return in Thunderballs.
Keith's big Thunderballs.
It's fine that this keeps on happening, but it can't always be the focus of the fucking episode.
It's true. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Why don't you have some of this get fucked up for you in the background, Allison? How about that?
Weird Ray Don Chong thing? Make that the main thing.
Sure.
Oh, Ray Don Chong this week playing an alien? Absolutely.
Yes. Wonderful.
So there's three stories. I think we'll just probably go like chronologically and just talk about them as we will, because none of these are worth really devoting a ton of time to anyway.
The Matt storyline is nothing. He goes to a lawyer and that's that. How much screen time did he's gotten?
It's two and a half scenes. It's three scenes. First, he goes to a lawyer played by the great Judith Hogue of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fame. That's a WLM coming to you guys at some point.
Oh, yeah. Get Ref some food.
I like her in this role. It's kind of a fun little... He's going, obviously, pick up from last week. He's trying to sue the halfway house he worked at for discrimination, for firing him because he's gay. And... You know, this woman's trying to tell him, like, look, it's going to be a tough road. But, you know, if you're into it, I'm into it. It's going to cost you five large, though, dude.
Yeah, we're not going to win until 2020 with a Supreme Court decision.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Long, long road, Matt. Long road. 18 years.
It's one of those things where I'm like, man, the times are different. If this was like Melrose Place 2020, like this is the number one storyline.
For sure.
You know what I mean? And as the way I've been able to judge, you know, more or less, I think, which plot lines gets which letter, it's just based off the sheer number of notes that I take about each storyline. And it's insane that this is the C story.
Yes.
Well, when the B story is Radon Chong being an anal retentive roommate.
In a better episode, you would have had a lot more with the parents, James Handy as his dad, and that whole scene. They just blaze through that real quick.
It's half a scene. So it's $5,000, and like he gets a new job at a restaurant, like an outdoors restaurant where this
bikini
woman...
burger.
Bikini burger. I'm glad you got the name of it, Kevin, because I was trying so hard to read that t-shirt, and then I was like, oh, it definitely says bikini burgers. Oh, doesn't it? Oh, yeah.
Are these grill marks on my burger? No, those are tan lines.
Here, Matt, you're gonna want to put on this bikini. We're gonna tie you up and back.
Just what a weird thing. Like, here's a burger and it's named after a bathing suit.
Well, it's probably on the beach, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
But she's like, and his manager there, he's like, oh, so how much can I expect to make? $5,000? She's like, no.
Are you sure it's not $5,000?
It's like $5,000 a day, right? Right? And she's like, no. You'll get extra tips if you're cute, so you'll have no problem.
Cutie.
And it's like, how many times do I have to sue people? Like, how many times? Can I have 1 week where I don't have to sue someone?
I didn't understand, because they don't wind up playing it up anymore. Mm. Like, the reason for this waitress being flirtatious, like, that I feel is an episode where it's like, oh, geez, I don't know, Jake. There's this waitress at work, and she keeps coming on to me, and I don't know what to do about it. Like,
yes.
That's say no a more. Thing.
I will strangle her tonight.
All right, Matt, you know the drill. Here are here's one complimentary ticket for her to go on the Riverboat Casino. I will be there on Tuesday night to strangle her. Yeah, by the Riverboat Strangler.
Matt grooms his victims.
Just tell her to meet you outside of Shooters at 4 a.m. That's where I usually am. Problem will take care of itself.
I may or may not be asleep. Just tell her to wake me up. It'll be fine.
By the way, do you have any rope? I'm out of rope.
Fresh out of rope.
So
you gotta go to Rope Burger for that.
He does wind up talking to Jake a little bit. It's like, oh man, this $5,000 is really burning a hole in my pocket. I don't know how to get it. Like, I guess I'll talk to my parents. We see this really awkward dinner scene, which I agree with Chris. Like, this is actually the most interesting part of the episode, is like Matt with his family. Again, like a 1992 gay guy talking to his parents. You know what I mean? Like, it's not something we've seen on screen a ton on television. No. So it'd be cool to sort of live with this relationship. And it's like, you know, a little nuanced insofar as like they accept him, but they're really uncomfortable by it, of course.
I mean, they get James Handy, who is really good all the time. But I don't know who plays a mother.
Kind of.
I don't know if it's anyone super of note. I can look her up.
Can I tell you really quickly that I was looking up James Handy, and he was in a movie in 2017, which is only 1 hour and 10 minutes long, that I really want to know about. It's called Through, T-H-R-U, The Hereafter Remains Unknown. A series of massacres at local bars has a neighborhood on edge. With the culprit still at large, it's a dangerous night to be out drinking at Frank's Tavern. Nevertheless, a few diehard regulars tempt fate and take their chances.
Massacre?
I know! What is happening?
Is it a zombie or is it an AR-15?
I think it looks... I'm looking at the pictures.
He's leading this movie. He's on the poster.
It's him, man. It's him with a shotgun. I'm like kind of into this movie.
What? James Handy's got a shotgun on the poster?
In 2017. He's going to break his fucking wrist.
That's ridiculous. The mother is an actress. She died a few months ago, actually. She died in February. Claudette Nevins plays Matt's mother more on this. She's in Sleeping with the Enemy. She's a doctor character of some kind. And supposedly she was in Star Trek Insurrection as Officer Number Two. So you can see where this is going. Although, yeah, actually, she's in Tough Turf.
Ooh.
A character named Paige Hiller. So that's the mother of James Spader.
And wow. She's and oh. It seems like at least James Handy comes back for five more episodes, which is good. But yeah, it's just them at the dinner table, and like he's like, "Hey, you know, Matt, sorry about the halfway house, but as I told you, you're never going to make money at that place." And he's like, "That's kind of funny. Speaking of which, can I have $5,000?"
And it's funny. I can't tell. I mean, the dining room here is dressed like, you know, nicely, but we literally only get this one. It's one of those things where like, the family's eating dinner and every other room in the house is turned, every other light is turned off in every other room. It's like completely dark except for the dining room. You have no idea like the size of this house. So I don't know if these, like, is $5,000 a lot of money to Mr. and Mrs. Fielding or not so much?
I think it is, but like they clearly will throw it around because like there's no traction when he initially, like, I need a little bit of money. They're like, oh, sure, of course, but how much?
Yes.
Right. So like $5,000 I do think is pressing it. That's why he stonewalls them, but like,
yeah, in 92 or whatever, that's at least 10,000 as well, right? Yeah. To modern bucks.
And he's like, hey, you know, it's like, well, it's for this, you know, it's for this lawyer, she needs to do this thing, blah blah blah, you know, I'm gonna sue those bastards, kind of a thing. And it's like, you know, Matt, it's just, you know, you're gonna make a big show out of this whole thing and the publicity is gonna eat you alive. It's just bad news, you know what I mean? And he does this thing where it's like, most of America does not share your values or whatever it is. Oof. Which is kind of amazing and shitty.
Yeah.
And then he just storms out, and that's kind of it. And then he goes back to Judith Hogue, and she's like, oh, I just realized something. Pro bono. Cool. That's the problem. It's solved. But she does say, you know, I'm going to, the publicity is going to be a thing here because I'm going to really, like, fucking, you know, really make a big show out of this thing, and we're going to go all the way to the top, kind of a thing.
Right. She mentions about, like, the publicity will take off like a brush fire, which is nice.
Right. Yeah.
Nice localism, probably.
I do. I do appreciate that she's upfront about, like, by the way, I realized last night this is probably pretty good for my career. So, yeah, I'll get him to do pro bono. Yeah.
I'm guessing this is all going to end with, like, the choice being, like, continue with the lawsuit or the place closes.
Well, that's what I'm hoping it doesn't turn into a thing. I mean, I don't remember. And I did watch this a really, really long time ago. But I'm curious where this goes. I hope it doesn't come to a place where it's like, ugh. You know what? Even speaking out has its own problems. I guess I shouldn't have done that either. You know what I mean? I hope that's not what we're doing.
I'm getting the feeling that's where we're going, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I must say, I do not remember, but I would not be surprised if Chris is right.
Just like, oh, man, you know, speaking out, oh, well,
yeah.
What a hassle.
It's just not that simple, you know? it's not that simple.
If you speak out, there's a chance that this halfway house won't exist. Armando won't have a wall to throw a chair at, okay?
Right. Yeah, totally.
Would you do that to these kids, Matt?
Just for your gay agenda? What? Nothing. God. I mean, that's where we're going with this thing.
Know,
and, yeah. And like we keep saying, this should be the A story. It's so interesting to have this on television at all in the 90s, but we have to watch fucking paint dry with Keith and Allison.
I know. And I mean, honestly, it was the most I was engaged in the episode is when the 2.5 minutes of screen time, this storyline got to continue itself.
The B story, I guess we'll just do it story by story. The B story is, because they have nothing to do with each other either, is Radon Chong and Rhonda. She shows up to be Rhonda's new roommate. And like, she is like fucking crazy from jump. She's just like, oh, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm an efficiency expert and an organizer, and I kind of keep everything super tidy. And I'm like, thank you very much for coming by.
Yep.
I'm done.
Yep. As soon as someone tells you that they are an organizational professional, that is the reddest of flags that they should not be your roommate.
She's talking like she's on the Home Shopping Network the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like,
that's why I thought she was an alien.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she says, I organize people's lives. That's like an alien thing to say.
Isn't that what Dahmer said he did?
Yeah, I'm just kicking back, organizing some lives, you know.
Into my refrigerator.
Heads into skulls, you know, organizing the skulls.
It'd be more efficient if you had another hole in your head.
Yeah. Oh, and this one's just for the wind to go through. It'd be a little quicker. You'll swim faster.
You're a runner, aren't you? Well, this will help you find.
Yeah, you're not gonna run no more. Yeah.
And you know, huge red flag. And she's like, "Wow, you're much better than these other mutants I'm meeting." I'm like, "Who are these mutants? Who could be worse than this woman?"
That's the thing, dude. Because she calls them, quote, a parade of losers. I got to see that parade of losers in an application interview montage. Yes.
I
need some creeps dropping by the apartment.
I think they were all like Sandy. And this is like the other side of Sandy, essentially, like the absolute opposite of Sandy.
Right.
And that's what the whole, like, and that's what she has to learn is it's not so nice to have them like completely on their own and, you know, self-determined and all that because they're freaks.
Ooh, hey, Rhonda, just calling to check in with you. What's that? Oh, sounds pretty terrible, child. I gotta go now. Seth's calling. Bye.
Oh, you got taken over by the Borg, did you? I'm sorry, bye.
Ooh, you know what they say about the Borg, child? Ooh, resistance is futile, y'all.
Q, stop this. I don't want to watch Melrose Place anymore.
We're not your pawns, Q. Keith and Allison either should break up or get on with it. Or he needs to divorce that son of a bitch, Lily. Holodeck, run Melrose Place Protocol minus Keith.
Oh, this is a much better episode.
Oh, now I have the nice apartment.
Just playing pool at Shooters.
He'd hate it there, though, dude. There is not one, like, fucking moment in time where you can read a book at Melrose Place.
Oh, yeah, and Allison isn't picking up on all his, like, Rousseau references well, and shit like that.
In the opening credits, now we have Billy reading a book. It'd be cool if it was just randomly Patrick Stewart reading a book. Like half a second, like, what was that?
But you know, that she moves in and it's pretty early on. It's like, oh, I just rearranged all the cans in the apartment, and that's like, oh, that's nice. And she's like, I also brought this cool organizer, it's last year's model, the new ones are wider for different spices. I'm like, okay,
like, do you want me to buy it?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Why are you telling me that? Shut up.
And like Rhonda's like, huh, that's odd. And then, like, Rhonda comes back one time and, like, there's plastic shit all over the floor.
Dude, these plastic runners that people had in the 90s to put over your carpeted hallway and shit. Good God, dude. You know what that stuff is, by the way? You see that down on a fucking floor? That person's, like, in the early stages of becoming a hoarder.
That is the true menace to society. Was those fucking things. I fucking slipped on those things so goddamn often.
Yep, or you trip over them because they come unhooked from the carpet. Oh, they're off. They were so awful.
I have never seen one in the wild, so this is interesting. Man.
A friend of mine had them. I don't know who it was, but I do remember being disgusted by them.
Yeah, you should be, dude.
I do.
It's like plastic over a fucking couch. It's like, what are we doing?
Isn't that what Mark Wahlberg lays down at the end of The Departed? He shows up with a shower curtain, a shower cap on his head.
Yeah, I think he's got one of those plastic runners. He's like, hey, bro, I don't want to get any dust on this carpet.
I brought them from my mother's house, bro.
Rhonda,
that was the other thing with those. That was the other thing with those things, man, is people would use it as an excuse to not fucking vacuum under there.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And it's just a fucking filth trap. It's disgusting.
But that is that essentially is the wires going into the Borg brain heads of Rhonda's apartment.
Well, I guess the idea is like if you're carrying a giant beverage through your hallway and you drop it.
Yep.
That's the whole reason.
Dude, if you're holding one of those big, heavy, slippery fucking big gulps and it just slides right through your hands, man, and that 4 gallons of Diet Coke falls on the floor. I mean,
this was the height of big gulps, right? Like the same era. So
yes, absolutely. Yeah. It was
wheezing the juice, man. This is where it came from.
I wish I could go back and just wheeze the fucking juice.
Dude, just spend an afternoon wheezing the juice, you know what I mean?
Go to Mega Mountain, enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
That's right.
But yeah, so not only did she lay down these weird things talking to Rhonda, she also like reorganized Rhonda's closet and sent half of her clothes out for dry cleaning. Dude. and put like fucking potpourri in her shoes or some nonsense.
Yes, oh, yeah. Forest Spice shoe deodorizer, we're told.
Which actually sounds kind of nice, you know?
I mean, sometimes Rhonda, you need that, man.
Rhonda complains that all of her shoes smell like pine trees now, and I'm like, fuck, that's what all I ever want to smell like is pine trees.
Well, it's better than smelling like foot funk.
But like sending someone's clothes out, what are you doing?
That is the last straw. Like the first straw was like, okay, it's kind of weird. You just, you know, it's fun to reorganize my soups and shit. I don't care. You start touching my clothes, you got to get out of here. You just got to go. Yep. You're not on the lease anyway.
Yeah. Well, like, where's the fucking receipt for any of this dry cleaning? What dry cleaner did you go to? She's like, oh, it's the best dry cleaner in Beverly Hills. I'd be like, where are my clothes?
It's called the Fence Laundromat. The Fence Laundromat.
It's that, or it's like she sent it up to her spaceship to analyze the fibers and shit. This is what Earth people wear.
If I came back, Chris, when we were living together, and you were like, "Oh, I sent all your clothes out for dry cleaning," that I asked you, like, "Oh, so you came in my clothes? You jizzed on my, you wore my clothes, and jizzed on them." So you're saying
that's exactly what I did, Steve, and I took them to the laundromat because I'm a friend.
Let me get this straight. You were jerking off while facing my closet. And when you started slinging webs, you didn't pay attention as to which fucking t-shirts they were hitting.
Look, what I wanted to do is I wanted to see if I could waddle while staying erect around the apartment. And it just so happened that the end of my journey was your bedroom.
Journey. Well,
it's Steve's fault for leaving his closet door open. You should just expect your roommates are shooting ropes when you're not home.
That's a good point.
It's important to experiment with yourself.
The internet ticker, by the way, it was the height of Wheezing the Juice, because 92, same year as Encino Man, by the way.
Oh, shit, everybody was Wheezing the Juice. God damn it.
Allison, Wheeze the Juice!
Get out, I'm trying to Wheeze the Juice in here!
Allison,
son of a bitch!
Link is just going to crash here for a couple of days. He wanted to swim in a real swimming pool that wasn't in Sean Astin's backyard.
Oh, it's cold in the middle. Oh, yeah.
We will get to him. But yeah, so she's like, you know what? Carrie is Raydon Chong's character's name, by the way. Yes. Is like the great Raydon Chong, by the way. She's fun and stuff. You got her in Commando. She's great in Commando. She's really good in The Principal.
She is great in a non-action or comedy. She's in The Color Purple.
Mm. I don't remember her in Jeff Lives at Home, which is in her whatever. That was a fun movie. I enjoyed it way back when.
Yeah, I like that one.
Ooh. Oh, God. Yeah, I have not thought about that movie in ages.
What is that movie again?
It's a Duplass brother joint.
It's Jason Segel and Ed Helms.
Yes. I actually have seen this. I just totally forgot about it.
Do you guys know that Jason Segel, Chelsea and I were looking this up the other day, has kind of like just left acting?
Yeah. Well, he had that TV show.
What TV show?
God, I'm going to forget the
title. How I Met Your Mother?
No, it's another one.
I was supposed to say.
It's like an Amazon or an AMC one. And it's like Andre 3000 is in it.
Okay.
But that's the last thing I've seen him
do. Did he
do.
Like formally retire or just sort of like,
I don't know. He like lives in upstate New York and writes like YA novels or something.
Good for him, man. Sweet.
Yeah.
I saw him the other day on Pluto TV on an episode of Cribs from MTV. Early
wow.
Cribs. He wasn't even, he was just hanging out. He was just a background guy. At who's the girl in that 70s show? Not Mila Kunis, Laura
Prepon.
Yes, it was her house, and I guess they were dating, maybe. So he was just hanging out, and he was like,
weird.
He wasn't even really addressed by the camera or anyone.
Just her dude. Hey, babe. Yeah. Hey, babe. Cribs is here.
Oh my God, dude, man! MTV's Cribs on Pluto TV is a journey, because after that, they played an episode of Devin Sawa. I got to try to say sour with an accent, and that's all I'll get it. But Jason Schwartzman was hanging around his house, and he was dressed like a 2002 nightmare with this fucking like baggy jeans, like a graphic t-shirt with a blazer, his long hair. It was very, very interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pluto TV, the greatest thing that happened to me in quarantine, easily.
Absolutely.
Easily. Yeah, but she you know, she and this is a thing to just kick her out immediately, but she's like, okay, but you can't do this ever again. And she's like, I understand, I'm a robot.
Yeah.
And then the next thing, the last kind of straw, is Rhonda decides to make her breakfast because she's been so nice to her, quote unquote. And she's making her breakfast, and she's like, you know, if you do it this way, she's like, no, sit down. I'm just trying to make you breakfast, make you feel at home. She's like, wow, this is really nice. You're using one of my copper pans. And she's like, yes. She's like, I'll clean it right after, I promise. And then, like, Rhonda takes a nap, and, like, fucking Radon Chong shows up right in front of her with the pan, like, what did you do to my pan?
Dude, it's insane. I was like, she's going to hit her in the teeth with this thing.
You dirty bird. What did you do to my pan?
Excellent, Chris.
And she's like, you should have soaked it, which, hey, yeah, you got to soak that. I mean, you really.
You got to soak that shit, Rhonda. Soak it.
But also, like, I mean, I kind of wish she killed her here, or it turned into, like, or if they, like, it turned into a real, like, fucking, like, a Bourne Identity kind of fight between the two of them.
Oh, they're both, like, activated somehow at the same time, and they just start fucking super karate fighting each other.
Radon Chong's got a copper frying pan, and Rhonda rolls up a fucking magazine and uses it as a knife somehow.
Oh, it's like, what the fuck was that Soderbergh movie with Gina
Carano? Haywire.
Is
that Gina Carano?
It is Gina Carano, yeah.
Yeah, it's so good. I just rewatched it during quarantine, and it's amazing. It holds up.
A lot of good close quarters fight scenes in that movie. It's a good quarantine movie for that.
By the way, Steve, Radon Chong does come back for two episodes later.
Oh, does she ever?
The fight might happen.
Well, let me tell you, I don't want to spoil anything, but Rhonda at that point really has some reasons for trying to murder her.
Boy.
Two episodes, it's fucking crazy. Yeah,
but she just kicks her out. She's like, hey, look, this isn't working, because they get into kind of a screaming match about the pan. She's like, this isn't working, blah blah blah, you gotta leave. She's like, yeah, I guess I do. And it's like, okay. And meanwhile,
right, like, after I clean my pan, dude, that's her fucking line right there. Oh my god.
And poor Michael's like, look, I'm trying to get the names right on the door. Is she your roommate? Is she not your roommate? I had to lose Sandy's label. I got to make all these labels.
I'm cutting all these little strips of white paper and boogles.
Oh, she's got a P.O. box again.
Oh, great. Francis Halberg lives here. You know what? I'm just going to put her in as Francis Ha. That's all. I'll put her in as Francis Ha.
Great movie.
A great movie. That was one of my quarantine rewatches. A real fun one. Makes you miss summer in New York City, which I do.
That's what the show, if you watch the incredible first season of High Fidelity on Hulu, that is a primo New York in warm weather show. And
really?
God,
it's New York?
Yeah, it's set in Brooklyn. It's fucking awesome, dude.
I was always just assuming Chicago.
No, transplanted to Brooklyn. Fucking great. Cannot recommend it enough.
The one thing I don't get about the High Fidelity show is you have, who's the lead in that? I keep forgetting her name.
Zoe Kravitz.
Zoe Kravitz, who is Lisa Bonet's daughter, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Why not have her play Lisa Bonet's daughter and, like, somehow she got pregnant with John Cusack? That's your show.
No, it's not your show. And I'll tell you right now why. Because that means there's some fucking obnoxious possibility that John Cusack's going to sashay through that frame. And I don't need to see that on this show.
But it's a fun sequel idea, I think. I don't know. It's kind of
weird. But she's her nickname is Rob. Like, she's playing that character.
Yeah, I got it.
You know, I got it. It is well worth your time. I think it's quite great. Anyway.
I'm just saying, if you're going to have new roommates, you got to give me some notice. I'm real busy at the hospital.
Well, they have, like, nothing to really do
at
this
all.
Episode.
At
they're,
all!
They're both, like, strung along to the Allison storyline, because, like...
Which we can get into now, because that's the last of it.
Well, you guys are forgetting that Michael was retiling some of the roof there.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to, dude, because, dude, how fucking ridiculous and on the nose is this, like... They're trying to, like, do this roof repair scene. He's like, yeah, come on, Billy, give me another couple of roof tiles. Oh, whoa. And there's, like, the storm brewing.
Yes.
And, like, I was like, come on, man. Of course a storm's coming to Melrose Place.
It's like a fake storm, too, and it looks terrifying distance.
It looks
like
so fucked up.
Malachi Throne is on his way.
The Traveler has arrived.
You have been summoned, Mike Mancini.
You, hold on. Sandy has left before I could collect my tribute. I will rain a storm upon thee, Michael Mancini, the likes of which you never seen. And now Radon Chong has left.
Damn you, Michael Mancini. Well, now you're going to fix this roof in the rain.
Listen, kids, Melro here. I told you when you moved in, this certain date it rains blood. I knew that.
Malachi, we agreed on a week's notice. A week's notice.
Oh, you must read the language of your contract again with me, Mel.
No.
All of your leases state I can rain blood whenever I please.
No honor. No honor whatsoever. No honor between you demons and me.
Well, I am the devil.
But so Allison's storyline, such as it is, we ended last week on a cliffhanger because it was Allison. Allison, say something. I'm Keith. Allison?
You're frozen like we're in some sort of soap opera.
But we start up and he's still doing that. And she finally is like, wow, Keith, that sounds amazing. Let's have sex again.
Hey, Keith, let's have sex.
No, Allison. Toilet flush.
And she comes back to Melrose Place and Billy's like, huh. I've been waiting up all night for you because I'm a fucking nightmare. And she's like, why did you do that?
Yeah, it's 1 a.m., she says.
Yes. Or no, he said, I waited up. It was the next morning. He's like, I waited up till 1 o'clock in the morning waiting for you. And it's like, okay, no one asked you to do that.
There's a crazy thing where she's just like, she's trying to talk to him about like, you know, Keith is this, Keith is that, you know, he's successful, oh, yeah, he's this, he's that, the other thing. You know, he's the best in bed, and like she keeps going on, and then is like, yo, Billy, don't you have anything to say? And he's like, I was still working on the best in bed, Allison. Best in bed, Allison.
I guess we're just going to disrespect your vibrator now. That's fine. That's just fine. Fine, Allison.
Oh yeah, I had Jake pick the lock and I was playing with it.
I named him Larry, Allison. Now it's Larry the Vibrator.
We'll just throw Larry in the garbage then, because Keith is here. Here's your fucking pink slip, Larry.
He was my best friend, Allison. My best friend.
Here, I glued some googly eyes on him so he could talk to me.
Look, and then when you turn him on, his eyes dance. Balls.
Yeah, I glued
balls.
It on. I glued it on with my own human glue.
Oh, man.
Larry's dancing, Allison. Balls.
He spins around like the Tasmanian devil.
No, you better not use it, Allison. You might get pregnant.
Allison, I am incredibly lonely.
Allison, what do you mean you're out of D's? He needs D's. He needs them to live, Allison.
But she's like, you know what, Billy? Stay out of it. You don't understand. She's overwhelmed. She's like, oh my God, Keith's leaving his wife. Can you believe it? And he's like, well, that's like kind of terrible. And he's like, what do you mean? And it's like, well, like think about that for even a second.
He calls her like a dysfunctional Hallmark card or something like that.
Which is like, again, like you shouldn't have to get your roommate to sign off on your boyfriend. If that's the case, it's time to get a new roommate.
Yeah, but everyone's kind of telling her the same thing, dude, which is like, listen, you don't want to be the other person here.
And what's so interesting about this, it's like obviously all these characters are very morally bankrupt, not a non-sinner among them. And then they're being very high ground about the morality of marriage.
Which I agree with you there, because they're just fucking around. Who cares? But like, but it is kind of weird. The weird part about Allison is she's so cavalier about this information. She has like, kind of has no shame. Like, you know what I mean? Like I would, if I was having an affair with a married woman, I wouldn't be like, guys, and she's got a fucking husband who has a disability. It's awesome, Jesus. You guys.
Yeah, Jesus. Yeah. True.
You know what I mean? Like, Billy, again, is a nightmare because during this fucking tile scene, which you talked about for 20 minutes, he's just spilling the beans to everybody. So guess what Allison's doing right now, guys? And it's like, I don't know. It's nobody's fucking business.
That's the other thing, dude. You got to stop talking about it. Like, we cut to this fucking roof fixing scene. It's like, all right, so then get this. After they 69, are you still with me here? Then Keith decides he's not quite finished yet. And then and it's just like, dude, they don't need the play-by-play. You're given way too much information that, like, dude, clearly she should have learned from now, you know, by now, that she shouldn't give this information to Billy in the first place.
We should get like Billy complaining about it just like that. And it's just a close up of his face and it pans out and he's driving some random person in the taxi. Just going through it.
No, Jade, I got it from an inside source. His name is Larry.
And then Allison and Keith, and she's behind on her advertising stuff. It's like, LAX, please.
LAX.
Can I just pump the brakes just half a push here and acknowledge Chris Cabin's inside source joke right there? That didn't get enough laughs. Apologies. We're talking about a vibrator.
Apologies.
Whatever. So then it's the rainy night. Allison comes back. She confronts Jane, confronts her when she's trying to get the mail. And she's like, isn't it great? He's leaving his wife. And Jane is like, I thought I'd been pretty clear that I'm not super thrilled about this relationship, as I am a wife.
Yeah, so she's got the fucking memory of, you know, I don't even know what, a hummingbird. Like, Allison cannot recognize, like, oh, they've kind of already shunned me about this the last two times I told them I was going to break up with Keith. Or when I told them that Keith was going to leave his wife.
So he's leaving his wife, so that's great. And she's like, well, yeah, you know, there's another woman involved and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh, well, stay out of it, Jane. And she comes back. She's soaking wet because it's raining.
My favorite shot in this episode is right here. It's like right as they're wrapping up their argument outside in the rain, it cuts to inside Allison's apartment. And it's Billy just watching TV. And, like, they're outside, and it's just, like, him totally not noticing what they're doing at all. And it reminded me of the fucking great Simpsons sight gag of, Homer, it's getting pretty bad out there. Could you check on the boys? And Homer, like, looks out the window, and they're fighting, and he's like, they're fine. Like, he's just sitting there like, oh, there's a huge argument happening right outside in the middle of a storm. I'm just going to keep watching cartoons. That's okay.
But she comes in a huff. She's totally soaking wet. He's like, oh, good. You're already wet. Would you mind going down to the store and getting some takeout? I am starving.
God damn it. What an ass. What a horse's ass. And there are times in this episode where I'm like, I'm sitting here watching. I'm like, you know what, Billy? Like, what you're saying to her right here is actually correct. Like, even though you're Billy Campbell, you have good points here and there. And then he does one of these, like, well, you're already wet. How about some Chinese food? Get your ass back out there. I'm starving.
Alfred, you didn't put any food in my bowl before you left.
I would have loved it to watch Allison actually, like, the camera goes with her and she goes and gets the stuff, comes back, the whole place is on fire.
Trying to warm up, it's cold out there.
Is that Manchester by the Sea?
Yes.
Oh, okay. There you go. Excellent. But she's like, no. She calls up Keith and she's like, I'm leaving. I'm going to hang out with Keith. And then Keith is like, oh, sorry, Allison. my wife is here, so...
And here's the thing, that fucking coward, that fucking marine biologist coward, because he doesn't say that, dude. He's like, he calls up and is just like, oh, well, you said you were getting your things, eh? Well, Allison, I'm gonna have to cancel on that. No reason, but I gotta go. And, like, the shot you see is, like, Keith is on the phone, and you don't even see this woman's face, Lily, the wife.
Yes.
She's just, like, walking around in the background of the frame, like, looking at pictures and, like, just analyzing the house or something like that. And it's just like, come on, just, you fucking coward.
Well, she's just, like, packing, sort of, or picking stuff up. It's like, oh, it's not a great time. And I kind of just want her to be, like, in the background, what's her name? I want to know her name. No, just working late, babe. Talk to you soon.
Got a lot of microbes to look at under the old microscope.
You son of a bitch! I'll fucking kill her! What's her name?
Is that a whore on that phone? Is that a whore on that phone?
Mel Rowe, you have a whore living in apartment 312.
Someone talking about me? I heard of a whore in apartment 312. What? You're talking about Allison. Got it.
But so he hangs up, and then later he winds up coming the same night to her apartment and is like, oh, listen, Allison, I finally did it. And then she kicks me out of my own house. Can you believe it? Mind if I stay here for a couple days? Because I'm afraid of her. And Billy is like, oh, that's not okay. And Allison's like, of course it is, you know, blah, blah, blah. There's this great exchange between the two of them. Well, Allison's like, oh, Billy will lend you some clothes. It's fine. He's like, oh, it's not going to fit. He's like 6'4", and I'm like 5'1". And she's like, oh, he's like, it's not okay, Allison. What if his wife comes here and kills us? I'm like, really, Billy? Really?
I don't know, man. Hey, listen, I don't fucking know Keith. I don't know fucking Lily. All I know is my roommate is the unwelcome third person in this marriage. Yeah, I don't know, dude.
Allison, I saw Fatal Attraction 4 years ago, and I haven't felt safe since.
The most terrifying part about this scene, though, is that as Keith is knocking on the door, like, you know, Allison and Billy have decided to, like, stay in for the night. What is can of dog food that he's heating up on the fucking stove, like Hormel chili or something?
I'm so keen on beefarino. What a delicious cuisine. Fit for a king and queen.
Exactly, dude. That guy heating up anything on a stove? Look out, man. I'd rather be out in the fucking rain.
Also, call for Chinese food. Allison doesn't have to go get it. You know what I mean? Like, just do it.
Yeah, he's not trying to keep the kids warm. He's just trying to put the beefarino on, and that's what causes the fire.
A rainstorm like the one that they're pretending they're having in Los Angeles, dude, that better be like a fucking 40% tip. Because that delivery guy, he may never even driven in the rain before. Who knows?
True. But yeah, so now he's staying with her, and like Billy's making her really uncomfortable. The next morning...
Wait, hang on.
Oh, please.
We got to talk about another Allison being a piece of shit thing. He is all soaked, and she's like, oh, go take a shower and whatnot. And while he's in the shower, she's like sorting through the laundry, and his fucking wallet falls out.
Yeah.
And then she starts like looking through it and like flips up the driver's license flap, and there's a photo of like him and Lily, which, you know, whatever. Like, he's not even divorced yet, but like, you shouldn't be looking through
somebody's
wallet.
Yeah, it's true.
And then I let it go. She should have taken the credit card, but like, if you're just looking at the picture, fine.
We also have a totally disgusting fucking Keith towel drop. Did everybody catch that?
No.
Yeah. So, like,
he
walks
on the floor like a barbarian.
Yes, just like
even worse, dude. He walks into the room and she's like, "Ooh, better put his wallet away." And he walks into the room after the shower and he's like, "It's basically like a you see anything you like kind of exchange." They start making out and the cut is like on the floor from behind him. The towel falls and only then does he use his foot to close the door.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah.
I see it's a male butt cheeks now, god damn it.
Yeah, babe, that's right. I washed everything but my balls. Let's go.
This is the worst thing he's ever done.
Allison then has a nightmare about Keith's wife or whatever, which also, like, here's the thing. Beverly Hills 90210 started in 90. This is 92. It's been two or three seasons of Beverly Hills 90210. And I know for a fact they do the fantasy thing less and less on 90210. So realize that this thing does not work in this show. I just do not have it.
I
never
thought
have
this implied that Keith murdered the wife and this was her ghost.
I don't think as off the rails as this show gets, it ever dabbles into the paranormal like that.
That's too bad.
Although that would be better because Allison could go like investigate. Might have some interesting things going on in this show for once.
It turns
X-Files
out like
come along and say, you know, we're looking for one Malachi Throne.
Oh shit.
It's a haunted apartment complex, Scully.
Yeah, Mel Rowe is played by Wallace Shawn.
I think he's hiding something.
Listen.
Oh, nothing to see here. Just a totally professional and well-kept apartment complex. Welcome to Melrose Place. I'm definitely not the devil.
The pool is red, Scully. What do you think that could mean?
Mulder, anybody can spill that much cranberry juice into a pool.
He pranced away on goat legs. Surely there's an explanation, Mulder.
Look here, Scully. Another tenant, Sandy, went missing. They said that she joined a soap opera, but it doesn't exist. She got sucked into the television, Scully.
Sandy has to come back, and she's like the girl from The Ring.
Yes.
They summon her back to the world of the living.
Scully, I did some research, and it turns out that soap opera was canceled 30 years ago.
Ooh, you got 7 days, child. Ooh, actually, you know what? I'm busy next Thursday. See, you got 8.
Ooh, I'm doing a favor for you, child. A little demon favor.
I like that because it's an LA girl, so they'd be flaky.
Yes,
on the date
exactly.
Of when you'd
die. Ooh, was that supposed to be Tuesday? Sorry, I missed
Ooh,
it.
Ooh, I'm all sorts of backed up with my hauntings, y'all.
Since I got sucked into the TV, Mel Rose said, "Do you want to be on TV?" I just didn't know what the price was, y'all.
He put me in touch with his super evil djinn, and he granted my wish. I got more than I bargained for, y'all. Bye.
Yeah, Deborah Hare is in here with me. Bye, everybody.
Oh, yes, Sandy, you will spend the rest of eternity with Debbie Harry on a shitty soap opera that can only be seen from Melrose Place and Shooters.
Shooters has Civic TV playing at all times.
It's coming from this weird station in Pittsburgh. I don't know.
I feel like if you looked at Shooters in the cold light of day, it would be like at the end of Dusk Till Dawn where it's a Mayan temple or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, if you just took a look around back.
Exactly. So like it's just this scene where Allison is talking to Keith's wife and it's very uncomfortable and she's like kind of understanding what she might be doing might be sort of kind of wrong, and which is fucking three episodes too late. The next morning she's like, oh, Billy, I didn't sleep well. I was like, yeah, I could hear it. And she's like, you know what we need? It's like thicker walls. And it's like, good Lord, dude, I got it. You listen to me. Fuck. Can we talk for a minute?
Sick and tired of hearing you fuck with Keith. I'm sick and tired of you and Larry hanging out, if you know what I mean, goddammit.
I want him to go full William Friedkin's bug and just start, like, stapling egg carts to his wall to insulate it. And like, this is the only way, Allison.
All right, Allison, we're going to set each other on fire, right?
We're all living in William Friedkin's bug these days.
I'm fucking weeks away from dousing myself with gasoline.
Just bought a bunch of new aluminum foil.
So Keith is like, you know what we need? That's what he says, you know what you need? And then that's like, thicker walls. Like, we need to get out of here for a little while. Let's go camping, babe. And she's like, cool. Also, we don't know. Like, she was like 5 seconds away from getting fired. I don't know. Is it Monday? Is it Saturday? What are we talking here?
This is an interesting episode because it's Melrose Place on the weekend. The episode straight up starts on a Friday when the rain happens, and Allison's like, when she picks up the phone with Keith, she's like, oh, hey, yeah, I just got home from work, blah, blah, blah. And then by the time Rhonda is making breakfast for Carrie, they definitely mention that it's like Sunday morning.
Oh, okay.
So they go camping. They do a little like Saturday into Sunday kind of a thing.
So they're camping and they're just hanging out by the fire here. And this is when like he's just like, oh, you know, we got the rest of our lives to plan. Now, hey, guess what? You know what's even better than breaking up my marriage? Now we're in a super committed relationship. Sorry. And she's like, dude, oh, this sucks.
It fucking totally sucks. He has some line about like, well, you know, Allison, we've got a lot of future to fill. And I'm like, how about you get fucking divorced?
Exactly.
Why don't you start filling your life with that?
And he's talking and she's like, well, what are you, something about his parents. And he's like, oh, you know, they're just they've got one of those annoyingly long marriages. And it's like, yeah, I got it. Mr. Big Shot never cheated on his wife. Sorry, Dad.
My dad, get this, Allison. My dad is such a loser. He's never had an extramarital affair. Can you believe it? And my mother neither. What a bunch of squares.
Isn't that crazy? Anyway, when I'm moving in with you. Moving in with you.
Because he's definitely like, you're totally right, dude. Because he's like, oh, you know, we got to get you a new roommate. You got to fucking get out of there. Why don't we move in together? It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Why don't you get a divorce?
Well, my favorite part is when like they're having this little talk between themselves. And he's Allison's asking him like, what have you found with me? I know what I've found in you. Found me? And she's like, have you found love? And he's like, no. He's like, have you found like companionship? No, I've found depravity.
Oh, dude.
I'm like, dude, leave now. Get out of there. Wherever you are.
Capital B, capital S, butt stuff. That's what we're talking about.
Yep. Yep. I found a little lady who's going to go all the way.
I always wanted to try rimming. Now I'm there, man.
I know just by looking at you that I could try that. You wouldn't say a single thing.
And he's also trying to get her away from Billy here. He's like, you know, he's not even like an adult. He's like a big kid. I'm like, fucking thank you, Keith. Thank you. Meanwhile, we miss the scene when they're talking about going camping and Billy's like, thicker walls. He is wearing, and I took a picture of this on my fucking Twitter. is wearing denim overalls, undershirt, and a fucking flannel baseball shirt over it. Like he's on Salute Your Shorts. It's like, dude, you're a grown man.
The fucking Boo Radley special.
Question. If, you know, months from now, when hopefully things are a little safer out there, you know, a little more okay to be out in public and whatnot. If there's any kind of like Halloween thing, like we do a Halloween show, sure. Maybe we do this for the Salem show if it happens. I don't think it would be exactly an appropriate place for it, so maybe not. But can we go for Halloween as different Billy Campbell outfits? Because it would be cool because people would be like, who are you, the little rascals?
It's true.
No, dude, if I'm wearing overalls without a shirt underneath, like, oh, what are you, Earthquake from the WWF?
R.I.P.D. probably.
Or Earl of Toe Jam and Earl.
Yeah, it's just you got to have a really good body to be able to pull off the no undershirt with the overalls. But
I guess, yeah, otherwise you're a hog farmer.
Yes, exactly. Like, what are you guys, Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
But like, she's like, oh, wow, Keith. And he asks her about her family, and she's like, oh, you know, nothing. And he's like, you want to go for a hike? And she's like, it's like really incredibly late.
Dude, he says a midnight hike and then follows it up with like, dangerous, scary. And I was like, Allison, this man is going to kill you.
Yeah, exactly.
Hiking at midnight? I don't know about that.
Fine, fine, fine. We'll go for a boat ride instead, my love.
I mean, the best case scenario is you get attacked by a mountain lion.
Exactly.
Seriously.
The worst case is he's killing you.
I wanted to turn it over to resident hiking expert Eric Siska. You going on midnight hikes, dude?
Absolutely not. Yes. I mean, they do sell certain equipment you could use for a night, you know, night hiking, like little lights you could put on your fucking forehead. But it's just, I think it's... Let the animals have that time.
Exactly, plenty that's of animals. The time for the bears.
Yes, let the nocturnal motherfuckers handle that.
Although I guess you could just like piss in the middle of the trail that way. You don't got to go looking for a place to go. You could just piss right there.
Yeah, well, if you get the right trail, you could do that.
Okay.
Yeah, even in the daytime. There's some, you know, less popular ones. So if you want to go on a piss hike, Chris.
Okay, I was going to say.
Eric Siska's guided piss hikes.
You're going to wear at the campfire, Chris, and I'm like, come on. Let's go for a piss hike.
You're going to want to piss here. This is one of the great places to piss.
Welcome back to Piss Hike on the Travel Channel. I'd be into it. So whatever. She just kind of brushes him off. The next morning, she's like, look, I just want to go back. And he's like, I called trout for breakfast.
Thank you. And I was going to ask resident camping expert Steve Sadek, dude, you eating fish for breakfast or what?
No way.
Dude, what are we doing with this? He's like, oh, here, you ever have trout for breakfast, Allison? Look at this. Yay. And I'm just like, dude, what?
Hope you enjoy fucking cleaning it at 6 o'clock in the morning. Better clean this fucking fish for breakfast. It'll only take 2 hours.
A couple of these are still flip-flapping around, huh? Well, hey, Allison, you even haven't had a morning piss yet. Why don't you slap these against a rock?
Allison, my wife wouldn't have missed those bones.
Allison, the guts are where all the nutrients are. You want to eat them first, and the eyes as well.
What are you doing? What are you fucking camping with Oswald Cobblepot fish for breakfast?
Yeah, we're roughing it.
Allison, I'm going to show you my French flipper trick.
If Keith and Allison had a baby, they'd have to throw it over a bridge, too.
On Christmas.
I love it. Whatever the fuck ever. She winds up going back and she's like, Billy, you know, I know we've had this conversation 6 times already, but I think I'm ready to finally break it off with Keith. It's like, oh, why? And she gives the most chilling and bizarre monologue I've ever heard. And it is, as we were texting earlier, it is not within Courtney Thorne-Smith's strengths as an actress to give whatever this kind of monologue is.
She's not up for it. She's not there.
It's basically this thing wherein, like, oh, my... And again, like, the weirdest thing is she's like, you know, we were talking and Keith talked about his family. And then I started thinking about my family. And you know what? I remembered that my dad cheated on my mom all the time. And it took me, like, I'm a fuck... Like, what are you, a bumblebee? How do you not know this when you're actually cheating with somebody? That you're like, oh, wow, this is what my dad... You know, this is what I used to hate as a kid. Until somebody reminds you have parents?
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like, you know, she has gone out of her way to
repress it, kind of a thing.
Repress, like forget about her parents throughout the run of this show.
That's a good point.
It's always been brushed off. I mean, run of the show. It's, you know, 14 episodes, but it's been a lot of like, never mind kind of a thing.
So basically, what we learn is that his dad cheated on her mom all the time, and he would have all these girlfriends. And she has this weird thing where it's like, you know, I would think about his girlfriends and I would just be jealous of them because they have all this attention from my dad. I wanted to be them. And I'm like, I don't know about this one, guys.
So you get Julianne Moore in there. She can handle this.
Exactly.
She can make that really disturbing and good. And like, there's something there, but just she doesn't have it.
No.
She just doesn't have it.
She does not. And like, that's kind of the thing. And Billy's like, Well, there's this stupid thing where.
Hot chocolate time.
Beep, beep, hot chocolate express.
She's like, earlier on, she's like, I had this dream about Keith's wife. And he's like, Allison, I didn't know you were so kinky. Holy shit.
I'm going to have to change all of my masturbation fantasies around now. You just bumped up to Tuesday.
And she's like, well, I'm finally going to break up with Keith. And Billy doesn't say, I'll fucking believe it when I see it. Which is what he should say, but he doesn't. And she does go to Keith in the evening. Though there is a one scene. It's just weird. She goes to see, it's before they go camping. She goes to see Keith's wife in the wild and like fucking peels out when she looks at her. And meanwhile, Keith's wife is picking up the newspaper like James Gandolfini in Sopranos. Like just walking out of the bathroom.
It's kind of insane because it's like if you really are like picking stuff up to leave this dude and like he says something about like she's planning to go to San Diego or whatever. Are you casually just going out in the morning to get the paper and check the news?
It's not your business. Yeah, you're right. But she does go back to Keith's here and she finally breaks up with him and she's like, look, and he's like, but Allison, I broke up with my wife for you. And she's like, I never asked you to do that. Like, that's on you, dude. Yada, yada, yada. He does. I think it's a sign of things to come. If I remember this properly, he gives her a hard grab here, which is a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, there's a hard grab. I don't remember if there's more to come with that hard grab, but this alone, I was like, ooh, hard grab. That's bad news.
Mm-hmm. You never want a hard grab.
And if this is going anywhere other than like, maybe we're going to get together, maybe we're not, you would imagine it's going to have to go somewhere like that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, basically he's devastated. She's like, you know, we're done for good. And then she goes back to Billy and she's like, better get the hot chocolate, Billy. I broke up with Keith.
Fucking babies. Like, what the fuck?
First of all, you broke up. You're the winner. You're the winner, Allison. Congratulations.
Like, I need my sugar treat. Could you give me my sugar treat? I just broke up a family.
I just found the line. It's really dumb. She closes the door behind her and goes, fire up the hot chocolate.
Jesus Christ.
Like, can we pretend like we're not 17 years old for 2 seconds and someone ask for a glass of wine, mm-hmm. a fucking couple of fingers of whiskey or something?
Give me a stiff drink, dude.
Like, you're not the fucking Golden Girls, dude. Put the cheesecake back in the fucking fridge.
Billy, let's go on the lanai and talk about this.
Go get some uppers from Mel Rowe. You know he's got it.
Quick question. Yeah, I do.
Quick question. I was thinking about this when we saw a lot of Rhonda's apartment. It looks a lot like Allison's, and I'm wondering if it's the same apartment. They just dress it up differently.
I believe it is. But the giveaway, I guess, or maybe this is they bought all the same tile when they built these places. But the counters are the exact same color.
Yes,
like the countertops rather.
Right.
And I think they're just redressing the set, is my guess.
Yeah, especially, and that's why it's the genius kind of in a way of. Setting a show in an apartment complex like that, you know, because like I remember when we were looking at this apartment in the building we're in now, you know, we saw
what's
other
that
apartments.
Address again?
No, well, I'll tell you in just a second. It's 1234 Fake Street. No, but like, you know, we looked in the other apartment and we all have the same fixtures and the same, you know, countertops and whatnot like that. So it's kind of genius then. If they do this, because all you got to do as a set designer is kind of like shift some furniture around, position things a little differently, shoot it from different angles, and bim, bam, boom, you got yourself like 6 apartments in one.
You're striking the set, you're not striking it. Yeah, so, but like, yeah, she ends in a big hug with Billy where she's weeping and it's really beautiful. Yeah.
Probably the biggest soap opera ending we've had as far as just like an explosive cry ending the episode.
Oh, and that's it. I mean, I don't think that's it for Allison and Keith. I don't think so, guys.
No.
Did we mention Radong Chong with the pan thing, that ending?
Oh, yes. Well, yeah. Basically, she just gets kicked out because she was, like, being crazy with the pan.
Yeah.
And it's actually, I did appreciate the fact that Rhonda is like, you know what, Carrie? I don't think that this is working out. And she's like, you know what? Yeah, I don't either. You know, yes. It's just like, that's it. Okay. Although, those two episodes where she comes back later this season, look out below.
Mm.
Drama alert.
Wait, no Keith in the next episode, it seems.
Oh, thank God.
It seems. I'm looking it up right now.
I mean, we're not done with
Keith. He's coming back, but at least we get a week's reprieve next week. So
he's
going to
come
bit
back
of a break.
In a big bad way, right? Like a supervillain.
He's trying to separate California from the rest of the continent.
Keith and all of his sentient dolphins has Melrose Place surrounded.
Day of the Dolphin.
Yeah.
Suddenly has an eye patch for some reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Not Day of the Dolphin. What is that Kurt Russell or Kirk Douglas movie? Oh fuck! There was a
movie with where like the dolphin was trained to assassinate
someone. George C. Scott.
Yes.
Oh, it's George C. Scott. Yeah. Okay, that's what I was thinking of. Is that called Day of the Dolphin?
Day of the Dolphin.
And by the way,
also William Friedkin.
To your Superman reference, Andrew, Billy Berg. Really? Billy Berg?
Yeah, I would not live in Billy Berg.
I'm
the mayor, president, and the queen.
You know, Billy Berg rent skyrocketing now that they're not closing the L train.
New York jokes.
So I'll go around the horn here as we always do. It's the end of the week here. Are you excited to continue this journey? Any parting shots that we might not have gotten to? We'll get to Eric Siska first.
Okay, yeah, it was not going to lie, it was a tough day here in quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
Tough day, real tough day. But seeing all these people with their weird, weird problems, it perked me up a little bit. So yes, I'm excited. We'll keep going.
We will. Christopher Cabin.
Yeah, it's a good rain episode. I always like to see some rain. I'm a big fan of rain.
I'm a big fan of rain, too. We were robbed of some rain this weekend. I kind of wanted it.
Yeah, I love it on TV too. Lily is played by Juliana Donald, who is in a tall glass of water classic, Brain Donors.
You know, I've never seen Brain Donors, and I really should have.
It's John Turturro trying to be Groucho Marx. It's quite entertaining.
It's pretty funny.
Wait, so Eric Siska said it's pretty funny, but I mean, I hear someone else is trying to do Groucho. It's successfully funny.
It's them doing like. It's Marx Brothers / Three Stooges-esque comedy, but it's made in like the early 90s or late 80s.
92, 93, I think.
And interesting. It kind of succeeds in like the Naked Gun kind of way.
Yeah.
Is it a parody movie in that way, though, or no?
It's not. They don't address anything like that. It's basically just three guys and their outlandish antics.
Nancy Marchand is like the dowager.
Okay.
I have not seen this since college, but I remember it being funny, but I don't know.
It got a lot of play when I was young. Also, I'm stupid. Day of the Dolphin is not William Friedkin. It's Mike Nichols.
Mm. Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah, that rings a bell now. Yeah.
So that was Chris Cabin. Andrew Jupin, anything you want to get to here?
I will just, again, you know, quarantine's probably going to be going. I think we're going to get to these other Radon Chong episodes. There's only two. It's fucking crazy. It's at this point, Rhonda has like found a man that she really loves, and it's Radon Chong trying to fucking edge in on that.
Ooh, nice.
Kind of great.
But she no longer lives at Melrose Place?
No, she's moved out after this episode because next episode, you guys, we welcome to the program Daphne Zuniga in the role of Joe Reynolds, the mysterious photographer who Jake quickly becomes pretty smitten with.
Now, I forget, is she the only cast member of Spaceballs to join? Because John Candy's dead at this point.
I don't think Rick Moranis ever appeared.
Joan Rivers, no.
Joan Rivers, wait. Was she Billy's grandma? No, definitely not.
Is Mel Brooks just showing up for some reason?
Oh, Mel Brooks is actually a confirmed credited season 7 cast member. I forgot about that.
Interesting.
You're totally right, Chris. I completely forgot about that.
A shop owner, a friendly shop owner.
Yeah, that's gonna. I don't give a shit. I mean, this episode. I mean, it was a tough day in quarantine for fucking sure. We always do Melrose Place on Monday, so it's a little bit. It's getting up that great big hill of life.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
Always
dude.
Tough it's on like, the Mondays.
Oh, Monday again, huh? That's fantastic.
Cool. Yeah, that's why the 902 episodes are always chipper because you do those on Fridays for the most part. So. Yep. But yeah, so this is a tough one in general. I think that we're done with Keith for a little bit. There's some good stuff here. I kind of miss Michael and Jane, to be quite honest. I'll be there. I'll be the one to say it.
Well, it's kind of amazing. The one thing we didn't address in the episode is just how there is in the conversation between Allison and Jane, it's not the rain argument. It's right when she's like, Allison is washing a sleeping bag before she goes on the camping trip with Keith. And they're both doing laundry at the same time. And they really kind of have it out right here. And it's basically like Allison being like, are you trying to project your own marital fears on my relationship? And she's like, I just like to think that, you know, through good storms and bad storms or whatever the fuck, you know, she decides to use as an analogy. You know, Jane's like, I like to think that if a married couple just sticks to it, they're going to come out the other end and, you know, it's going to be some transcendent experience, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, your husband turns into a fucking maniac sooner than you think, lady. So strap in for that Michael Mancini.
I wish. That's kind of it. I will say we got a ton of great stuff on the Patreon. If you're looking to do stuff this weekend, we've got a feature-length commentary on the film Cats, a syncable commentary on the film Cats. Probably longer than the movie episode on No Country for Old Men that just dropped a little while ago. We've got, coming up next week, we will be dropping our episode, Side Order of Sleaze episode on Basket Case. That's going to be dope. Animation Danation on Scooby-Doo. We've got a Nexus, I think, coming out this week. Ton of shit.
It's a lot of stuff we offer. A lot of things for our beloved Patreon subscribers.
Absolutely. We'll see you next week. Until next time, I have been Steven Sadak.
Andrew Jupin.
Eric Siska.
Chris Gavin.
Take it easy and remain indoors and please wear a fucking mask.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.